in a quest to ever better myself and become a better Christian, pleasing God, I try to think of ourselves as, or myself, as not just going through trials, but being on trial. We know our election isn't for sure. We've seen far too many times people turning away and going back into the world. We go through tests during our trial. I try to think of this as, it really does help. It keeps your mind on things, especially when you're dealing with a used car salesman. And thinking of being on trial, we're on the stand. We're always on the stand. We're always in the spotlight, so to speak. So we may look good in front of some people. We may not. But there's always one that we can't hide from, and that's the one who called us, God. He knows us. He knows what we think. He knows what we're doing. 8 times in Revelation, he says, I know your works. Also in Luke 16:15, God knows our hearts. He knows our intentions. In Matthew 9:4, Jesus is knowing their thoughts. And also in Matthew 12:25, Jesus knew their thoughts. So their overall attitudes, if you look at yourself and your overall attitude, what do you see? Depends what we come across, that we see different things. Take, for instance, just a matter of making yourself, happen to make yourself read the update or study or take time to do this, take time away from the world. It's a willing attitude. We have to have willing attitude. There's also another one we can't hide from. And that's Satan. He's our accuser. He's always there to make us slip up or inspire us to slip up. He's there in front of God. Look what he's doing. He's doing this, he's doing that. He's not a very good Christian. We read in Revelation 12:10. Let's turn there. Revelation 12:10, if you would. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before God day and night. So we know right there that he's ready. He's always ready to point out what we do wrong. So we can't hide from him. We can't hide from God. We may be able to fool some people, but even then, sometimes it's not really easy. We get discouraged. We get down. You know, our attitudes change. I know mine does. And sometimes I'm not really happy. I'm not really angry, but it's shown. So if other people can see it, we know God can. He knows our thoughts. In Hebrews 12:14, is we could lose our salvation. Let's go ahead and read that. If we turn to Revelation 12:14, but the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she was nourished for a time and times and a half from the presence of the serpent. Oops, I think that's the wrong scripture. Well, at least she was hiding from Satan. Yeah, that's good. we'll skip that one. Okay, moving on. Also in Zechariah 3:1, where Satan is known, is pointed out as being our accuser, and we can turn to that one because I know that one's right. Zechariah 3:1. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. He's right there all the time. We know that. So all these unpleasantries that build up, big and small, what action should we take him? Hissy fit? Tantrum? No, we know what we're supposed to do. As I mentioned earlier, dealing with a car salesman, that was very unpleasant, and it's one of the things that, you know, I was working on, you know, I have to work on, is realizing that things in this world are getting worse and worse, and it's not going to be any easier for us to do what's good and to understand that things are evil. It's very hard sometimes. And in my hissy fit and tantrum, I hear a voice, Joseph. No, it wasn't like this. Honey, why are you so angry? You know, it's just going to get worse. Well, it will get worse. You know, it's not only going to get worse in the world, but it's going to get worse for each of us if we don't change our attitude. If we're not willing to go through, follow through, and do the right and good thing, act accordingly. And it happened to be a few days later, we're driving in town, and we're driving by one of the local churches, on the billboard, and this was pretty good. It's funny how we drove by that place probably a million times that week, and there it was. Adversity is an opportunity to exhibit godly behavior. So, wow. Willing attitude. That's what it takes. So if we're not willing to, you know, just be calm and think things out, which actually part of this deal with the car dealerships was they call back like every other day. Oh, this isn't right. This isn't right. Oh, we made a mistake. So we're willing to do this. And at that point, that's when I threw the hissy fit. And after thinking it through, I thought, this is a better deal. They did us right. So it was a willingness to stop and think. And that's what it takes. I would like to turn to a few examples in... one, Daniel. Let's look at Daniel 1 and verse 8. Daniel 1 and verse 8. Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies. So the king thought he was, you know, doing really good by giving Daniel his best food. Well, Daniel didn't want to defile himself. And he was willing to take the consequences and even willing to let that eunuch defile or get his head cut off. So Daniel was always willing. Now, in verse 9, we read, "Now God had brought Daniel into good favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs." And in verse 10, "And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, 'I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and your drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king.'" Well, better his head than Daniel's head. But the point is he wasn't willing to compromise. He was willing to do whatever was necessary to exactly follow what God has commanded. And the other example, obviously, is Daniel 6 and verse 1. Let's turn over to 6, verse 1. And this is an example, as you know, is where he was thrown into the lion's den. Let's go ahead and start in verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. And over these, three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. So Daniel also made a positive impression, and which ended up being a positive effect. And this is the other thing we have to look at when we are on the stand or in the spotlight, what effect we have on people. So this is very positive. And in verse 6, and we'll read 6 through 9, so these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom and the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. So when Daniel heard this, the first thing he did was go up and pray. So it was a big trap, we know that. But what he was willing, his willingness, is what we're seeing here, his willingness to die for God. His convictions were that strong. So if we read on verse 10, now Daniel knew the writing was signed when he went home. He went and up in his upper room with his windows open towards Jerusalem. He knelt down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since the early days. Then these men assembled, found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king. It spoke concerning the king's decree. And we know the rest, that he was thrown into the lion's den. He was willing, and that's what happened. And he prayed. God did save him. He'll save us. We pray. If he sees our heart willing to do whatever it takes to follow his way, then he'll help us whenever we need him, one way or another, he'll help us. And we can see the positive effect in verse 24, where Darius, King Darius, honors God because he's seen Daniel was saved by God. So positive impressions are very important. We can also look at Stephen in Acts 6 and verse 8. And then we'll read verses 10 to 13. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. And there again, there arose some from what was called the synagogue of the freedmen, and they accused him again. They accused him of speaking blasphemy against God. So we can see that we're in the spotlight. They're in the spotlight, we're in the spotlight. May not be by people, in this case it was, but by Satan, who's always trying to make us slip up. So we move on to Acts 7 and 59. Just before he died, he called on God and he prayed for the people. That is a willing attitude of doing what's right. And you park your car, somebody opens the door into it, puts a nice little scratch and dent in it. You're not going to go over and fill their tank full of gas and say, oh, thanks. No. No, what you want to do is bust out every window and light, which is a bad willing attitude. But a willing attitude would be just to accept it, confront them if you can, but work it out in a godly manner. That's what we're called for, to work out things in a godly manner. And what prompted my sermonette was the thoughts I had. It was a situation. I was reading a publication, one of my favorite ones, and the author of this one subject was describing a certain action, and he went on. It was a whole paragraph, just describing, using different words or synonyms. And my attitude was, wow, this is a little much. Skip on. It wasn't about what was being said. It was very good. It was very thorough and descriptive. It was about the attitude. The attitude of, well, just bad attitude. Not willing to follow through, willing to learn what was being said and connect it together with the rest of the article. It was just skipping through. And that's not a good attitude to have. Well, we're not going to do that when we're learning to build a house or drive a car. You're going to end up in ruin. Same thing with our calling. If we're not willing to follow through and continue thoroughly, then the chances are we're going to miss something. And it's not going to be right. The point is, in all circumstances, we're in the spotlight. Maybe to some people it may not. It may matter to some, it may not. I mean, this is examples of Daniel and Stephen. Didn't really matter to them people. All they cared about is persecuting them. So we can run into that too. And we probably have. Somebody's always questioning our faith and beliefs and trying to knock it down. Point is, it doesn't really matter. We can't hide from God. And I'd like to turn to Revelation 3 and verse 21 for the last scripture. 3:21, and we all know this. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. Also, I also overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. It's proof right there. A willing attitude is a winning attitude. We can win or we can lose.